This podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Listen to other great tech podcasts at www.techpodcasts.com.
This is Tech Webcast.
Computers.
Technology.
Gadgets.
And other geeky stuff.
It's on iTunes. It's awesome.
And it's from the future.
Follow us at twitter.com/techwebcast
and
on Facebook, and check techwebcast.info for info. Tech Webcast.
Turn on, tune in, drop on.
Welcome to episode 260 of the Tech Webcast podcast. Recorded on 12th of October 2013, Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday and rebroadcast on Aussie Tech Heads on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. Please rate us on iTunes and like us on Facebook.com/TechWebcast. Your hosts today are Andrew, Brad, Jody, Steve, Jacob, Paul, Sari.
Yes, indeed. This is episode 260 of Tech Webcast. Andrew, what is up?
G'day, Brad. How you doing, buddy? I am doing okay myself. Thank you for asking.
Take 2000 or something. I can't remember what's going on with this.
It's an episode.
It's an episode. Yes, 260 episodes. We can't believe it. Jacob, what's up, buddy?
Nothing much.
Oh, you're loud. Turn it down.
My mic is not that loud.
I've just gone deaf. Paul, what's up, man? Welcome, man.
Hey, how you going, Brad? How's everyone?
Yep, we're all well. Jody's back on. Welcome, Jody.
Hey, Brad, I got my iPhone 5S.
Are you serious?
Yay. Yeah,
I have
it. Oh, my God. That is so cool.
I know. I have to tell you the story about how it arrived.
How do you like it so far?
I like it a lot. I think the way I describe it, it's kind of like, you know, like when you have a car and you can kind of get used to it. That's the way I was with the 4S. And then when I got the 5S, because I skipped the 5, it was comfortable. It felt, you know, it didn't feel unusual going to it, but I think it's a lot faster than the 4S, because when I go back and I look at the 4S, it just seems like a dinosaur.
Yeah, definitely.
But it's a smooth transition. It's not, you know, and I think it's because of iOS 7, it was just easier to move into this phone.
Sweet. All right. Well, enjoy. We'll come back in a minute. Hey, tell us about how you got the phone. We got Bryce on today as a guest. Welcome, Bryce.
Hey, mate. Yeah. How are you going?
I'm going well, mate. And long time no chat.
Yeah, I know.
You told me the other day you got a 4K TV. We're going to chat about that very shortly and tell us what you like about it and don't like about it, maybe.
Yeah.
Also, we have Steve on. Welcome, Steve.
Hey, how you doing? I did RealmsCon last week. Also streamed out that show from RealmsCon, 10 hours the first day, 6 hours the next, and I'm tired.
Wow. Way to go, mate. Good on you. That's a long day, long days, aren't they?
It was a lot of fun, though. It was excellent.
Yeah, definitely. Also, we have Jacob on from Florida, USA.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up?
Nothing.
You got a new dog, apparently.
Yes, I did.
Very cool.
And we also got another guest on today.
Who's that?
Siri.
Oh, yeah, Siri. Good going, yeah, Siri. Thanks for doing the intro, by the way.
Hi, Brad. How are you today?
Awesome.
That's, yeah, I'm good. Thanks, Siri.
Looks like I've been replaced by a machine at the intro.
It's a robot.
I'm only a little bit upset.
We won't have any jobs.
I think we should all just have Siris on our phones and let them all talk to each other and do a whole show.
Oh yeah,
the first radio show ever with Siri talking to Siri talking to Siri with opinions from Siri.
That'd be so cool.
That's with LOL.
Yes.
All right, so Andrew, this is Arfo. What's been happening? Quick update, mate.
Yeah. Okay. Quick update. We've done a whole lot more work with our app, and we put that through to the Apple iTunes Store. And yesterday, we were approved on our app through iTunes. So that was really exciting news. It's not available as yet, but we've had initial, I guess, approval for our first version. So we're really happy about that, and it should be in the iTunes store and available now directly, you know, in weeks, not months. So there's a few things that we want to change. So we will be doing a resubmission, which we've already done, actually, with some newer functionalities and things. But the, you know, the overall structure, the overall architecture of the app is initially approved, which was, nice. Was a bit of a surprise. So, yeah, there you go.
So you were actually so you were actually quite happy about that.
Yeah, well, we didn't – I mean, you know, we just didn't think it was quite there yet. We actually thought they'd have a few questions and a few issues with a few things, which we'd have to go away and resolve and come back. So we thought there'd be a process. But we managed to sort of go through that, and not, you know, we got approved on our first time out, which was, you know, really exciting, considering it's a full, you know, full-blown social sort of platform of its own rather than just an app that connects to existing platforms.
So what's coming in the next update for this app then, Andrew? What are his things he's going to be adding in it? Can you sort of
run down? Well, I could tell you that.
But you can't?
No, but I can't. But then I'd have to kill you. Look, the first version of the product will be a version that's good enough. But there are a lot of things that will be coming over the months, and maybe even next year, leading forward. But you know, we'll just get the first version out. We've been initially approved, but we don't want to release the version that's been approved because there's a few things that we're going to bring into the app. Like a whole heap of further Facebook integration and sign up and these sorts of processes. But there's a lot of things that'll be coming. So the first version will be good enough, and we'll grow from there.
All right, well, let's go to Bryce for a minute and ask him about your app, Andrew, and see what he thinks. Bryce, do you use social networking apps at all, Bryce, or them sort?
Not really. I use like the Facebook Messenger, Skype, stuff like that. But I'm not too deep into that stuff.
So you don't actually sort of record videos, that sort of stuff, on your, from your phone?
No, I'm not. I'm not too deep into that stuff. No.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, what about you, Paul? Do you do that sort of stuff, mate?
Yeah, I tend to use Twitter, Google Plus, Facebook. They're the main three that I use. For anything social media. So, yeah, I guess I'm interested to know exactly how Zapho would actually work with all three, obviously, combined, and also the video aspect of it.
Yeah, well, go ahead, ask him. Paul, he's here.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so how does Zapho... I mean, I'll try and make it quick because, obviously, we've got a show to do. But, basically, what Zapho is all about is the ability to create a 30-second short video or a broadcast, as we call it, a 60-second one, and also have the ability to go live for up to 30 minutes in the free version through your device out to all of your networks. So effectively, you can load into Zapho, click on the live button, and that also automatically sends you out live from your video device through to your Facebook, through to your Twitter, through to your Google+, whatever social networks you're using. It'll put a link up on all of those networks. And you can also connect it through to a Zapho community as well, so people can, in real time, watch you live. We've got a horse racing community. A gentleman on there, Wayne, he does his horse racing tips every Saturday morning, and he gets, you know, a few hundred odd people come in, watch that live, grab his tips, go away. And for him, it's a lot easier. He doesn't have to sit on the phone all day talking to people about the, you know, who's going to win the third in Melbourne. He can just do a quick Zapho broadcast. It sits on there, and at the end of the day, once they see who's won and lost, he can turn around and say, "Well, you know, there's a video up there of a live broadcast I did earlier today, so you can see just how good my tips were or my tips weren't." And the whole thing of what we're trying to do is, you know, I know that we can get live video elsewhere, and I know that through YouTube, if you've got enough people who subscribe to your channel, you can do live. But what we're trying to do is we're trying to create it to be really, really simple, so that the 15-year-old girl can go and download the app, click a button, and start using it straight away. So effectively, we're trying to bring video into sort of a fast food environment. You know, it's got to be cheap, easy, and enough to get you through. So that's kind of what we're doing.
So basically, you're running the app like food.
Basically, thinking of that, I'm hungry for lunch now.
Yeah, same. No, but seriously, no, Andrew, that's a good job, mate. You know, you've got a long way now, and you've got the app in the store and stuff, and it's good stuff, mate.
No, I appreciate that, bro. But it's been a long project. I mean, when I say long, I mean a long project. But we're not there yet, but we're starting to see some good signs. And I know yourself, Brad, you're using it. Jody's on the app, and you know, Jacob, you've been on there helping out with the beta, which we really appreciate. Vincent, who might be listening, he's also on the beta. So we're building and learning, and we're hoping that when we get it to market, we can get traction and get some users. But at the end of the day, if it doesn't work, then it's, you know, it's not for a lack of effort. You know, exactly. There's a lot of process we've gone through,
and you can't say you never tried either, Andrew.
Exactly, I'm not going to lose sleep.
Exactly. Well, yeah, you don't want to lose sleep over it. But Jody, have you been using the app? What's your view on it so far?
Yeah, I have been using it. Interestingly enough, I had a little bit of a glitch because I switched from the 4S to the 5S. And because we're in beta, the phone wasn't recognized with the update. But beyond that, the app itself is really slick. I think that the video, the idea of broadcasting yourself, there are three options. There's a 30-second, a 60-second, or a live broadcast. And I think it's really interesting the way it connects people with each other. It's just a different aspect from some of the other social networks. I think it's a very nicely done app.
Yeah, I think Color did the same thing, didn't they, Jody? That sort of thing? Color, you know, remember Color?
Yeah, yes and no. I mean, Color was cool because... you know, it was video, but it integrated with Facebook. This is its own entity. And there's some other aspects. I know there's a map that you can see where you are and other people who are nearby, so you can connect with new users. You can connect with people that you know through other social networks. What I really like is the ability to chat. You can do video chat too, right, Andrew?
Yeah, video chat's coming. We've got that down to a 0.2 of a second delay, but that won't be in the first primary version, I guess, but that is definitely on its way.
All right.
Okay, because I saw there was an option or something, so... Mm-hmm. But it's cool.
Yep, that's right. And if anyone wants to jump on and secure your at name, you can do that at zarfo.com, ZARFO.com, so you can get your name. It might be, you know, at Peter C or at whatever it is, so...
Yeah. All right, well, that's good, Andrew. Probably next week, probably you tell us to be in the App Store, maybe next week.
Probably not next week, but we'll certainly let you know, Brad.
All right, okay, because I want people on there to use it. Jody, you got some news today?
Yeah, all kinds of news. Well, first of all, now that I have a 5S, of course, all of the things are coming out about all the idiosyncrasies and issues and problems, and apparently the 5S... users are complaining about a blue screen of death. So apparently, yeah, I know, right? Go figure. And for those of us who know what the blue screen of death is, I haven't really heard about that since the old Windows days. But evidently, it's pretty consistently crashing with some certain maneuvers. I'm sure they're going to fix it, but apparently it crashes, they're saying about 2% of the time, as opposed to the 5 or the 5C, where the crash rate is below 1%. So, Brad, have you seen any crashes on your phone?
No, I haven't had. I have not had any crashes on my phone yet. No, mine's been fine.
Yeah, same with me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, I've had a few where I might be in an app and then it kicks me out of it. And I also have had a couple where the phone has reset itself. And I've only had my phone for a day, so...
Oh, wow. Good.
Yeah, but you know what? I have to say that the 4S was really buggy after I put iOS 7 in it, so I don't know that it's the phone as much as it potentially could be the software.
Yeah, true. Andrew, have you had many problems with your phone or iOS 7 at all?
Look, I've had a couple of problems, a couple of minor ones, a few little crashes, but realistically, nothing too bad. It's been... generally pretty good, particularly for a obviously a new iOS. As I said in a show, I think last week or the week before, I was a little bit surprised that there were some fundamental security holes so early for what seemed like quite a long beta process with the iOS 7. So they obviously did a patch really quickly, a 7.02, I think they called it. But generally speaking, I think it's been pretty good. I don't mind it. It's growing on me.
Okay, what about you, Jacob? Have you had any problems with your iOS 7 or anything like
that? Nothing too bad.
Okay.
Just a lot of app crashes, that's about it.
All right, what about you, Bryce? Are you using iOS 7, mate, or...?
Yeah, I was actually on the beta. It was... the beta was really bad. It was actually almost unusable. It was that bad. Like, the music app would crash, it would skip. When you unlock the phone, it would put everything in fast-forward. It was crazy. Like, the amount of glitches in the beta was just insane. It actually bricked my phone, the beta. And, but the final version now, and 7.02 is good. I haven't really run into any problems with it.
Okay. All right, what about you, Steve?
I've never had any issues with iOS 7. In fact, I tried all my apps. They seem to work fine, and some of which I know haven't, not all of mine have been updated for iOS 7. Of course, with the better software, obviously, there are always going to be some problems until the final release. Obviously, the beta is out just for mainly testing developers with the third-party apps and so forth.
All right. Next story, Jody.
Okay, also having to do with the iPhone and the apps. Apparently, despite the fact that you got the newest, fastest, goldest iPhone available, you might have noticed and might be a little bit frustrated that the apps are crashing more. While it's shiny and quick like lightning, it's been slightly at odds with third-party applications, and that's because of the new hardware. That's very, very powerful 64-bit processor. So Apple is sharing some more information with the developers. Apparently, this 64-bit processor was a quick change from what they had before. The iOS system is different. So it's not a seamless transition, but they're saying that for the most part, it's not been as bad as they thought. But yeah, some of those apps are crashing. But I think we've already kind of talked about that one.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know this, Facebook is making everyone searchable, so you need to check your privacy settings. And they reminded people today that they're removing the who can look up your timeline by name privacy setting, which means that anyone can search for your profile on Facebook. They started retiring this feature back in December of 2012, but according to Facebook's blog post today, the feature hasn't gone away for everyone just yet, but it will. That means your profile is going to be searchable again, and if you want to keep your information locked down, you should focus on what you post. It's easy to limit your past posts so they don't show up publicly. And what you really should do is go in there and double-check all of your privacy settings. Just make sure that everything is set the way that you want it to be, because you know they're notorious for changing things. And that's kind of an interesting thing. I think the concept of making everything public is not sitting well with a lot of people. What do you guys think?
Andrew, what do you think?
I don't think you can change the rules like this halfway through. I mean, you can't say to somebody... I mean, look, to put a really basic thing on it, if you build a pool or a spa in your backyard because you've got a six-foot-high fence, the council shouldn't be allowed to come along and say, you know what, we're taking that fence out so that, you know, all the kids in the park next door can check you out while you're in the pool, because that's effectively what's happening, in my opinion. So it's pretty poor form to have a security and a privacy setting and then say, you know what, we don't want to do that anymore. You're now fully searchable, you know, and away you go. So not a fan.
All right. What about you, Bryce? What do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't think they should do that, but they are pretty notorious for changing things. So
yeah,
it doesn't shock me. So
yeah, for sure. What about you, Paul? What do you think?
I do think the privacy thing should be still implemented. Like, I do think there's a lot of people that will be pretty upset with that, and they might actually go back to MySpace. Who knows?
Good.
And we might see MySpace actually revived because of that. But as far as I know, like, a lot of people, yeah, don't want to see people to search for their profile and all that sort of stuff. So, Yeah, it's not exactly the best move, I think, for Facebook to make.
Mm. All right. Jacob, good move or bad?
Very bad. I don't like that because with Google Plus, they did the same exact thing, but you could turn it off.
Okay. All right, what about you, Steve?
I don't know. I'm not necessarily for or against it, but, you know, to me, if you're going to be social anywhere on the web, just be careful on what you post. You know, obviously no addresses, phone numbers, and all that. Mm. I mean, if I'm not going to say, you know, I could see some reason for it, obviously. But like I said, it is a social networking site, and they're going to make their money somehow. So just, you know, just watch what you post, I guess.
Good tip. Jody?
Yes?
What do you think?
Oh, I think it's horrible, and I think that that's going to be the downfall of Facebook. The fact that they come out with a privacy setting and then retroactively they change it, you just lose trust. But you know, the funny thing is, as many times as they've done this, and as much as we've learned in the past, they keep doing it and we stay there. You know,
yeah,
so
yeah, exactly.
I just think something, you know, when something better comes along.
But you know, people say something better comes along, but isn't, I mean, isn't Google Plus there? Like, Google Plus is not a bad product. I mean, we do have options. We could go and follow Justin Timberlake on new MySpace, but, like, what is the... I don't think it's necessarily something better comes along. It's more the case, Jody, that, as you'd well know, if everybody's in the same place, that's where you go.
Yeah, it's like hanging out.
Yeah,
you know, it is. All your friends are there.
Exactly.
And everybody knows your name.
Could write a TV show about that.
Well, speaking of privacy settings and how frustrating it is when things change, Google announced that they changed their terms of service. And if you use Google services, you could become an ad next month. Apparently, Google users, you're about to become shills. A major update to the company's terms of service agreement today could have some users' profiles showing up in ads across the web. These shared endorsements, as Google is calling them, leverage any reviews, comments, plus ones, follows, or stars a user may have given to a business or brand by effectively placing your name, your photo, any relevant comment in a personalized advertisement. So what's that going to look like? Basically, your picture, if you ever said that you liked something, you are going to now be advertising whatever it is that you liked. So you can opt out, and they also are ostensibly excluding any and all users under the age of 18, although we all know, like when my kids were, you know, 7, they were on these different social networks and saying they were 108. Which is really ridiculous. But anyway, any users that previously opted out of Plus Ones will automatically be exempted, and they're set to go live on November 11th, so there's still about a month to go before you start seeing these showing up. So again, here we thought we could trust Google, and now Google's doing it.
Well, first thing of all, do we get paid for it?
No.
That sucks. Andrew, what do you think about this?
If you're not the customer, you're the product, and we all know that, and they're just basically flexing muscle to tell us and show us that again. You know, we're not paying for this service, so that means that what we write is, you know, is our form of payment. I mean, Google make a lot of money, $12 billion, I think they were saying, per quarter from advertising. So anything that they can do to leverage us as, you know, pawns in that advertising game, they're going to do that. And now that they've got their number of users, you know, they're looking at other ways to monetize their network, and that's okay. That's sort of reality. I mean, at least we're not getting the ads like you do on Facebook on the side, which generally aren't overly, you know, sometimes they're relevant, but they're not always relevant. At least maybe this is a better way of doing it. You know, people might be happy with this free service, but you've got to opt into that sort of thing. But in saying that, I mean, you can actually opt out of this. What Google have put up here for advertising, there is an option to opt out of it.
Do you use Google Plus a lot, Andrew?
I don't use it a lot at all, no. Okay. I mean, I probably would, I probably should, I probably could, but I don't, and probably the reason is because most of my networks of people, friends, family, aren't there. There's a lot of business network there, but, you know, and people have told me I'm wrong with this, but for me, Google Plus is where all of the, you know, journalists and, you know, advertisers, scribes, IT geeks, all these sorts of people hang out. The, you know, the teenagers, the friends, the 20-somethings, they're not there.
All right. Bryce, what's your view on that story? And do you use Google Plus?
I don't use Google Plus, but I don't really agree that they should be... I mean, the comments are there, but I can think of... I can think of times where people wouldn't want that publicly posted, but I guess, I don't know. If you can opt out of it, it's not too bad, but...
Yeah.
You know, because then you have that flexibility. So I guess it's not too bad. You just have to... As long as they make users aware, I don't think it's bad.
All right. Good, all right. Good answer, mate. Jacob, thanks for the link, by the way. What's your view on this?
I don't like it one bit. I think it's kind of unruly. Just spring it on people.
Mm. Yeah,
I just dislike it. Right. That's why I put the link in the show notes for everybody to look at.
Yep, good stuff.
They're not really springing it on people. I mean, you've got a month to opt out. At least that's better than Facebook, who are doing it like, bang, it's here, and there's no opt-out button, so...
Mm-hmm. Exactly. All right, what about you, Paul? Do you use Google Plus at all, or what's your view?
Yeah, I use Google Plus, but I don't use it as much as I use Facebook. That's mainly because not a lot of people I know are on Google Plus. So I suppose, like, if Google Plus actually did get the audience that Facebook has, I think it would be a far better option to Facebook.
Right. Yep. All right.
But Facebook has the magic touch, obviously. So clearly, no one's being stolen from Facebook's audience.
Yep.
So you think that the Google Plus is actually a better product than Facebook, Paul?
Well, I do think it's got a lot more features that make it a lot more easier for any user to use. So, like, Facebook, for the first-time user, is pretty confusing. Like, if you don't know how to use it, you're pretty much lost when it comes to Facebook. Whereas Google Plus is pretty straightforward. Like, all your controls are there, and it's very easy. It's less intrusive, and you can just get on with whatever you want to do.
All right, Steve, what's your view on this?
Well, of course, Google's got to make their money somehow. A lot of people, when they, they use Google Plus and they kind of click through all that terms of service like they do with many other things, and you know, it's more than likely it's printed in there, and often these companies do put it in the terms of service. They'll update it, but, you know, like I said, people just don't read it. So it's important, like, you need to go through it to see what the service, this free service, is going to entail. It may include using you, some of your posts in the advertising and so on. Occasionally they'd even send out emails. I'm not sure if they did in this case, but it sounded like they might have. Did you guys receive emails from Google?
Yes, I did. They're doing it? Yeah, I got one.
So at least they are telling people about it. So
yeah,
that's a good thing.
It is. All right, Jody, what next story? Jody?
Trying to unmute myself. Sorry about that.
You're right.
So, you know, you use the expression ping, right? Like, you know, like, I'll ping you, meaning I'll call you, or, you know, like you're going to ping to figure out how fast you're getting information back from a server. Well, you know, there was also a mail app called Ping, and things were going well for Guy Gamzu and Erez Pilosoff. They're the developers. Their email app Ping had been really well received by the media, and more than 40,000 people had asked to be notified when the app was released. The app Ping was modeled after many messaging services that companies like WhatsApp and Facebook and WeChat have released in their fight to dominate the way we communicate through our smartphones. And instead of trying to build another Me Too messaging service, Gamzu and Pilosoff decided to build an app that combined the design and features of those apps with the near ubiquity of email. And the result was an interesting app that reconsidered the way we should interact with email on mobile devices. more than other apps, you know, like Mailbox or Boomerang. So just a week before that app was supposed to debut, right, much to their surprise, they get this letter from Karsten Manufacturing Corporation demanding that they change the product name and that they should give this domain name that they had registered to Karsten, prepare all marketing materials for destruction, and remove any and all online references to the product, including but not limited to references on web pages located throughout Twitter, Tumblr, LinkedIn, Facebook, and any other social media, and even Google and other search engines. So apparently, Gamzu and Pilosof were told that Karsten owns the Ping trademark for everything from chat room services for social networking to computer software for authoring, downloading, transmitting, receiving, viewing, playing, storing, or organizing multimedia content. So this email app obviously fell under this wide umbrella of trademark uses. So I guess they went back and forth, and actually, this company Ping, they sell golf clubs, carrying bags, branded apparel, and they sell it on their website and through a variety of resellers. And they also offer an iPing app, which is billed as a free wireless putting improvement tool that helps you improve your consistency and helps you establish your putting handicap, which is all having to do with golf. So instead of fighting it, Ping is still going to be released on the App Store, most likely the middle of this month. However, they are they're rebranding. I don't know what the brand is going to be yet. I guess we're all kind of waiting to see. Mm-hmm. But it has gotten really good reviews. Brad, you've used it, haven't you?
No, I haven't used it. I came across it by Robert Scoble not long ago. That's how I found a bit about it, you know?
Okay.
Looks great. The app looks great. It looks really nice. Yeah. Andrew, what's your view on this story?
Look, just briefly, because Jody, obviously, that was quite an extensive article, which was great. But just briefly, there's a really good reason why I chose the name Zafo. I mean, it's a short name, and it's unique. You know, Ping. I knew the first time I saw the Ping Mail app, I thought, oh, isn't that a golf company? You know. So, at the end of the day, you've got to be really careful what brands you choose, and you need to look at these sorts of things. So, I wouldn't go as far as saying it's a rookie mistake from a trademark perspective, but they probably should have done a little bit more work. But in saying that, it's a startup, and they may not have expected to get as much traction as they did for their app. But
they're coming on the show, by the way, too, Andrew, next month too. So be ready.
Yeah, look, it's a great app from what I've seen, and it's fantastic. I just think they should have thought more about whether or not to call it Ping, because sort of knows they make golf clubs and things.
That's what I thought too. I think they would have. I thought they would have had a long, hard think about the name as well. But,
Apple used the name Ping for their social networking they had for music.
Oh, they did too. Good answer there, Steve.
Good point.
All right, Jacob, what's your view on this story?
Well, I wanted to try the app, but since they're putting it away for a bit, we still have to wait for a little while. It looks like a great app. By what I saw on the website, it looked pretty good, but... Yeah. I don't know what it's going to look like now.
Well, I think it's the same design, wouldn't it? So anyway, same.
Might have a different logo.
Different logo, yeah, different name. Different name for the thing. Bryce, what's your view on that story, mate?
Yeah, I agree. I think they should have done a bit more research, but maybe as Andrew was saying, maybe it was just a startup. They didn't expect to get that much traction. But in saying that, I was going to say... Because I don't know, I'm not into golf or anything, but I would have thought that I was going to say originally it's in an unrelated industry. So, but then they said they had the iPing app and everything. So it's a fair call if they have the trademarks under that umbrella and they have the iPing app. I guess it is fair on their part. If they were just golf products and shirts and stuff, then maybe it's just them flexing their power. But it's fair, I think.
All right, Paul. What do you reckon about this?
Well, I think the app itself is a good idea. Obviously, the name wasn't a good choice, but I do think it's important that they do have a new idea for email or reinvent email the way we do things. With other social networks and everything available, we communicate very... Well, okay.
Hang on for a sec. Sorry. Hang on, Paul, hang on. Whoever's doing that, please don't do that with the mic. Go ahead, Paul, sorry.
Yeah, we can communicate a little less with email and more with social media. So, yeah, it's good that they're bringing back email a little bit more than everything else we use.
Exactly. It's going to be a good app when it comes out.
So what you're saying is they're bringing email back.
Yeah. It's interesting that you say that because I actually heard a few kids on the train going to work basically saying, I can't believe you still use email. Since when is email old? Why do we call email old? It's just, I couldn't believe it.
All right, Jody, next, is that it? Or is that any more stories?
That's it.
All right, good stuff. As always, Jacob and Jody for doing the news. We got Bryce on today, Andrew, and everyone else. Welcome, Bryce, to the show, mate.
Hey.
And what have you been up to for the past last time we spoke?
Yeah, same old. I haven't really got that much in the way of technology. Nothing really caught my eye or anything except for just recently. But yeah.
And you're not doing any videos anymore. What's happened with that?
Yeah, I don't know. I just I used to be really into technology and I don't know, things were changing. My opinion, things were changing faster a few years ago. Now it's just sort of I don't know, same old sort of thing. So yeah.
So you haven't found anything new that you want to?
No. Yeah, nothing really interests me.
Because yeah, you're putting out some pretty good videos, you know, on your channel and stuff, and people are loving them, you know.
Yeah, no, I mean, I would if I found things that, you know, that I was passionate about, but I don't know, nothing's really interested me.
All right. Paul, any questions to Bryce? You probably do or don't?
Yeah, so are you still rocking the S4 or you stopped using it?
Yeah, no, I was using it for a little while, but... No, I stopped using it. I guess the iPhone just, it just has that, I don't know, it just has a competitive advantage. It's just, they've built products around it. I listen to music all the time. They're smart in the way they've done it. They've built their software around it, and they've got so many services that are linked into it that it's very hard. It would be very hard for me to change over to another phone.
So, what is your main phone at the moment, Bryce? iPhone or what?
iPhone, yeah.
All right, good. You're getting okay. That's good, mate. Andrew, any questions?
Yeah, you've got it's a Bilsta, Bilsta 57. So that's your YouTube channel. And just having a look at it, obviously, it says that you know you haven't really been active on there, as you said yourself, for 6 months. You've got 24,000 subscribers to the channel. Do you ever get people from sort of a commercial perspective trying to say, hey, you know, do you want to put my video up there, you know, promote this through there, promote that? And also, with that many subscribers, what kind of interaction rate do you get when you do put up a new video?
Yeah, so you do get a lot of people asking if you'll promote certain things like applications and stuff or products or even other people with videos. In terms of like interaction rates, what do you mean by that?
When you put up a new video, I mean, obviously it's got X number of views from people in there. How do you find the interaction from people when you put up a new video? Like, do you find that people tend to just watch it, or is there a whole lot of chat? Is a lot of sharing? Have you found that if you have put up a new product or something like that, that those companies are sort of, you know, getting any value from that, or you know? Just what's the general interaction that you're getting through that YouTube channel with the people who are watching stuff?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. But I think in the way of comments, there's not a massive amount. There's not a massive amount of dialogue going on. But I think that there's a lot of people do just tend to watch it and like it and then move on. But then there are people who have subscribed and they'll comment and talk amongst themselves, but I think mainly people will watch, like, and then move on. So it's mainly like search views and stuff. That's what I would say.
Is there a particular length of video that you've found to be better or worse than sort of other ones?
Yeah, you know, people on the internet generally, if they're going to be watching a YouTube video, they don't have a massive attention span. So the shorter you can keep it and more interesting, the better. So, but the longer it is, you know, you have some people will really like it, and then some people really like the shorter videos. So, a majority is in favor of the shorter videos that are more, they can hold their attention, and you can look at the data from the video, and it'll show you where people leave the video. Like, I can't remember what it's called. They have like a graph where it'll show they watch it up to, I don't know, a minute 10, and then the viewer rate goes down. So it's generally after a couple of minutes they will switch off. So the shorter the better.
All right, Jacob. Any questions for Bryce?
For someone that just found out about your channel, what type of videos do you do?
So I used to do technology reviews, and sometimes I just talk about general stuff that was happening in the field. But yeah, just generally unboxings and reviews of stuff that I found pretty cool, and I'd buy an unbox and review it. So that's pretty much it.
Did you ever get things sort of sent to you from manufacturers and things like that to review yourself?
They offered, but no. That's just stuff that I genuinely wanted and I got, and I unboxed and reviewed.
Nice one. I'm actually getting a Humax PVR sent to me, Bryce, next week, mate, from them. A new model.
Nice.
Do you know who they are?
No, I don't.
Okay, they do a set-top box for free-to-air digital. Jody, any questions for Bryce?
Yeah, Bryce, how did you get started? What was the catalyst to get you started doing videos?
So I started doing videos, I think, in 2008, and it seems to me that, my opinion, but things were changing pretty fast back then. 2007, we had the iPhone coming out, then we had the iPhone, the 3G version, and then there was a lot of change going on, and then 1080p TVs were really coming in. Like, we had the Bravias, which were dominating then. I don't know, things were just changing a lot, so I was pretty excited about technology, and I'd buy a lot of the stuff that was coming out and do unboxings and reviews on it. But I was buying a lot of stuff, and I was interested in a lot of stuff, so I thought I might as well make videos and put it up and see if anyone watches it. And yeah, they did, so I just continued doing it.
Did you get comments and feedback and things from people who were like, hey man, I saw you unbox X item and I bought one and it's really cool, thanks for that?
Yeah, you get those people who, because sometimes before they buy a product, they will watch the unboxing or the review, or if they're already set on buying the product, they'll watch the unboxing to get hyped up. So yeah, you get people who say, you know, I just bought it or whatever, but yeah, you get that feedback, yeah.
All right,
Steve. Okay, got something.
Hang on for a second, will you, Jacob? Steve, any questions for Bryce? Before I forget to ask you, go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, I agree with him, what he said on YouTube. People's attention spans don't last long.
Yeah, exactly.
Now,
yeah.
Of course, when I go to blip.tv, where I also put my videos, I noticed that their attention spans seem to last much longer. So I get more viewership off of Blip TV than I do YouTube. Another comment, do you also have the, I know today Brad mentioned a 4K television. Is it you the one that has one?
Yeah, we're going to get to that in a minute, Steve.
Yeah.
He's going to review that for us in just a minute. Go ahead, Jacob. What were you going to say to Bryce before we get into that thing?
No, what I was going to ask was, what was the best thing that you reviewed and unboxed?
Oh, it's a tough one. Probably my Mac Pro.
Yeah, I agree. That was a good unboxing video, and also your setup videos as well, Bryce. They're always good to watch, mate.
Yeah, thanks.
Have they changed? Has your office changed at all any time you did the last video, or is it still the same?
Yeah, it's still pretty similar.
Okay. I love that that dollar thing on your wall. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, the Scarface, yeah.
That's cool, man. Let's talk about 4K TVs. You got one?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Tell us about it. Do you like it or what?
Yeah, it's good. The only issue is that I think, as everyone knows, the 4K content is non-existent. But so basically my thought process was that I would get the TV and if the quality was the same as my old 1080p TV, then I'd just deal with it until 4K content came out, because they actually put it in my bedroom, so I watched TV on it quite a lot. So I didn't really care if I had to wait a while to get the 4K content. But I thought the X-Reality Pro, you know, the chipset, we would be able to upscale pretty good. Obviously not amazing, but pretty good. And the only demos, of course, in store were the 4K demos, and they look brilliant. And yeah. 4K content on the TV looks amazing, but in general, they don't show you, obviously, what 1080p, 720p, what the other content looks like. And 720p content is really bad. It's shocking. 1080p content is quite good when it's upscale. There's probably, I think 1080p content is pretty good. It's actually maybe slightly better because of it's a triluminous display, so the colors are quite amazing. They're actually, that's probably the saving grace of the TV. The colors are just brilliant on it. And you can play around the settings and turn that on.
Nice.
And that's absolutely amazing. Like, the colors on it are brilliant. Also, the other thing is they put a lot of expensive parts in it, so they put passive 3D, so you don't have to have powered glasses, which is really cool. The 3D is really good on it. The built-in speakers are also really good if you don't have separate speakers. I've got separate speakers, but if you don't, they're actually pretty good. So,
okay.
In general, it's a pretty good TV, but if you're going to get it to use a PlayStation, don't bother.
Okay.
Unless you're just going to be watching 1080p content, like, you know, off Netflix, and you're streaming it, and it can upscale it pretty well, it's pretty good. But
I have to say that Super HD on Netflix, man, is fantastic. Do you agree, or have you seen that?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's really good. It is really, really good.
It's fantastic. Jody, do you have a question about Bryce's TV?
No, I want Bryce's TV.
Yeah,
it just sounds amazing.
It does. It looks fantastic. You actually showed me a photo of it the other day. It looks good. Andrew, do you have a view on the TV?
But do you think it's the right time to sort of buy 4K now, or do you think it's sort of a bit too early, a bit too bleeding edge? Like when we start getting right into the real content, do you think that there'll be a better TV available?
Yeah, no, certainly. I definitely think it's not the right time to buy it. It was kind of an impulse buy. I don't really regret it, but I think that I would definitely not buy one at the moment, because the only true 4K content you can get is, especially for that TV, is Sony's 4K content server, and it doesn't work in Australia. So
wow,
and that's $800 for the server.
Jeez,
money. But yeah, I think as anyone would guess, over time there's going to be much better displays. But
Definitely, what sort of content have you been watching on the TV so far since you had it, Bryce?
The Netflix content is really good. That works quite well on it. And I've been playing a lot of GTA 5 because obviously that just came out. So that does surprisingly look good. Even at 720p, it looks quite good. But what I am looking forward to is apparently the PS4 and the Xbox One will be able to play 1080p games at 60 frames a second, so the upscaling on that won't be too bad.
So you're getting an Xbox One, or are you going to get the new PlayStation 4?
Probably get both.
Oh, shit, okay. All right, what about you, Andrew? Which one are you going to get?
I'm really undecided. I've got my steering wheel sort of whole set up. It's a Fanatec. Sort of from Germany, so it's, but there's talk that may not work with the Xbox One, so I'm actually considering moving to PS4. But ironically, I walked into a shop the other day in Melbourne, And the guy behind the counter said he's got a PS3 and he reckons that the Xbox One is such a great device, he's looking at moving to the Xbox One now. So I haven't really decided yet. I'm going to sort of wait it out. I probably won't get it straight away.
Yeah, same. I'm going to wait and see what happens. I'll probably get the Xbox One. I'm not a really fan of the PS stuff. Jacob, what about you? What do you think about the 4K TV and the Xbox and stuff?
Well, right now I would say I would wait.
Okay.
On all of it, because really? I have a good, perfectly good TV in my room.
All right, Steve, what do you reckon?
It's probably it's probably a bit too soon. If you're in Australia, of course, if you're in the UK with the BBC's really going pushing toward 4K content right now, as well as Japan. So if you're in those countries, then it'd probably be it'd be worth getting a 4K television. Also, you could try to. You mentioned like 720p and even maybe 1080p instead of trying to do full screen. Maybe you can scale it down, even widescreen if you have to. Maybe you can get a better quality at least with 720p.
Yeah, definitely. How does it look? How does Foxtel look on that, Bryce? Do you use Foxtel on that TV, or just don't you use it?
I actually haven't tried Foxtel, but the 720p content, it looks quite awful, as everyone would imagine. Oh, yeah. But so I think my, and 1080p content actually does look pretty good. So the X-Reality Pro can upscale it pretty well. But I would say for people who are going to buy it, thinking that it's, and obviously I knew when you put 720p content on there, it's going to look foul, but because it's too far ahead, but for people that are going to play, use the Xbox or PS3 on it, just don't bother, because you would get better quality out of a Hisense that's 1080p than that. But if you're going to watch 1080p movies and content, it's pretty good. And if you want to be on the cutting edge, then
use an Apple TV.
Yeah, the Apple TV is actually, it does look pretty good. Like I was saying, the Super HD is actually really good.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think about the Chromecast, Bryce? Have you used one of them yet, mate?
No, I haven't used one yet.
Have you seen one, or what's your view on it?
I think I watched a review on one. It looks pretty cool. Looks pretty cool.
Paul, what do you think about all this?
The 4K TV seems all right. I was just wondering if it was a smart TV as well. Does it actually have the YouTube application on there as well?
Yeah. So it has all. So it has all the features of a smart TV as well. So it has different applications. You've got YouTube, you know, like Twitter on TV and all that stuff. But yeah.
Oh, nice. Twitter on TV. How does that work?
I think the Samsung that I had also has that as well. You just this is an application, so you log into Twitter and then...
Okay.
Yeah.
It's so like what Xbox had.
With the 4K, I don't know if this is a stupid question, but are we going to be able to beam 4K content just through the digital airways per se, or is it only going to be restricted to cable? Do we know?
That is a good question, Andrew. I'm sure Freeview Digital are not going to be doing it anytime soon. Maybe Foxtel. Yeah. Maybe Foxtel.
But I mean, is there the actual capability to do that?
No one knows yet, mate.
Yeah, not sure.
Yeah. Mm. All right, Jody, what do you think about the 4K? Do you like 4K or?
I haven't actually seen one yet.
Well, you should go check one out. I love it.
I think it sounds like it's awesome.
It does. It is very awesome. All right, Andrew, want to wrap up now, mate, or is that it?
Yeah, just one more quick question. The quality you said upscaling from 1080p to 4K, is it considerably better than watching a 1080p content on a 1080p TV?
No, it's probably about the same, I'd say.
Okay, cool.
So you can't really notice the difference between 4K and 1080p, or from, do you reckon or not? Or you would notice a huge
difference? Native 4K content obviously blows 1080p out of the water, but 1080p, comparing that to another 1080p TV, the only difference is that it has the Triluminos display, so the colours are amazing, but that's about the only difference, really.
Okay. Jody, what's going on in Google Plus Week Live right now?
Right now they're talking.
Okay.
Wait, hold on, I can probably tell you if I look at the notes. They're talking about televisions. They're talking about they wish they would make a bigger screen. Actually, no, I think they're talking about the little Chrome. What are they called? The Chromebooks.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Yeah.
Good stuff.
And also, Fred, I want to share with you real quick story about how what happened with my phone.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yep, okay.
Okay, so, you know, when Apple announced that they were going to have the 5S and the 5C, you could pre-order the 5C, you could not pre-order the 5S. And you guys, like, if you follow the show, you probably recognize the fact that the last few weeks I've been hounding the stores trying to get my hands on one and finally gave up and ordered it online. And what they said is they would get it to me sometime in October, and I ordered it back, you know, mid-September, right after the introduction. Waiting. Finally get the note that it's going to be shipped. And interestingly enough, it says that they don't feature when they're shipping it. So I thought, that's kind of odd, but okay, fine. And I head out that morning watching the tracking, and I can see that it's in China, and then it's in St. Louis. And I'm in an office about an hour away from my home, but no problem, right, because they don't need a signature. I see suddenly, I guess it was around 1 o'clock in the afternoon, that they attempted delivery, but they couldn't get a signature. So they weren't going to leave it.
Wow.
It's kind of funny because it's a cult. You know, you're all excited and you're anxious and you're looking forward to this. And I was devastated. I saw this note, you know, the track, and I'm like beside myself. So I called UPS and I got them on the phone and I said, "What do you mean you need a signature?" And I'm arguing with this woman trying to get her to go back and leave the phone at the house. She tells me that they have no way to get in touch with the driver. She tells me that they don't have phones in the trucks, which is, you know what I mean? Like, why would she tell me this? Yeah. But she said they can't leave it without a signature. Anyway, long story longer, I have the UPS people on the phone in one ear, and I've got Apple, and I call Apple, and I'm reaming them because I said, how dare you say it doesn't need a signature if you're not going to leave it with a signature? They're telling me I have to go to the depot to pick it up. I can only be there between 7 o'clock and 8 o'clock. I have to show a picture. I have to give blood. I have to give my firstborn child. And then they may consider giving me my phone. So, and I've got visions of you know, how am I going to get there in time. They also told me that they would try to redeliver it the next day, but it's also during the workday. I mean, wow. Really? I'm supposed to sit home and wait for you guys to show up so I can get this phone?
What company was it, by the way, Jody? What company was it?
UPS was the delivery company.
Okay, UPS, please listen to Jody.
But wait. So a friend of mine who is he's a retired police officer, I had asked him to swing by the house periodically just in case it got dropped off. So he calls me, he goes, what's going on? And I told him the story, and while I'm yelling at Apple and UPS and on the two phones, and I explained to him, I said, you don't understand. This is not just a phone. This is like this is like the holy grail of Apple. You've got to get this phone to me.
God.
He actually tracked down a UPS truck and asked the driver if the driver serviced my area, and the driver said, no, it was another guy. Apparently, they do have cell phones. He called the guy who tried to deliver it. They found out where he was, and my friend triangulated and met him.
Oh, wow.
Now, mind you, if it was me and I was going to the depot, I'd have to show picture ID, right? You know, like give my firstborn. I have no idea, but they handed him the phone.
Wow.
Right? He's not related. He has, you know, like, how do they know? So anyway, he winds up getting the phone, and everything worked out okay. But can you imagine, like, how stupid is that?
Oh, it's unbelievable.
So they won't leave it on your door, but they'll give it to some random guy who knocks on the side of the van.
That's crazy.
Just give me a phone.
Unbelievable.
But you know, like, why would they send the thing out that says no signature? Get it.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
Yeah, I don't know. So, that's good. You got the phone. How long you had it for, JD?
I got it yesterday when I got home from work. So I guess it was around 6 o'clock last night, and I was up till 1 o'clock in the morning setting it up.
Oh wow! Good on you.
Yeah, because you know what? Not to say that it's so difficult. There's a few glitches. Some of my contacts, some of them are there, and for some reason, some of them are not. The apps, for the most part, transferred because I had backed it up to iTunes. So basically, all you do is you say, hey, I got a new phone, and iTunes dumps everything on the new phone. But all of the passwords are gone. So I have to, like, go through and, like, you know, all the emails and all, like, the Facebook and Twitter and, like, every app, you have to set up new passwords or the passwords again. So that was somewhat time-consuming.
Did you back up your old phone before you sync the new one?
Yes.
Okay.
I absolutely did.
Good one. Good stuff.
Yep.
All right.
But I was excited.
Yeah, I'm happy for you, Jody. I'm happy that you got the new phone. And how do you like it besides the 4S? Is that bigger phone and better?
You know what? Like I said, it's faster. It's a lot faster, a lot more responsive than the other one was. I think the apps look better on it.
Definitely.
It's definitely smoother. I like the fingerprint thing.
That's great. That part.
Yeah.
That's the best part about the phone, actually. Personally, in my book.
And you didn't ask me what color I got.
Oh, what color did you get? Sorry.
Space gray.
Oh, nice. Same as me. Are you using a case, Jody?
For the case, I got a quad lock case, which was one of those things that was on, what do you call it? Like, Kickstarter. But it's really cool because it has a little mechanism where you can hook it on the dashboard of your car. So if you use the GPS function, it's easy to see.
Nice.
And I also can hook it on my handlebars on my motorcycle.
Very cool. Steve, what do you think about the iPhone 5S and Jody's story?
It's funny that you're talking about it because this is the way UPS is in my area. They don't care how much thousands of dollars it's worth. If I'm home or not, they just dump it on the doorstep and ring the bell and they're gone.
Yeah, it's pretty wrong how they do it. They over here, they leave a card and then, you know, I'll just take it up to the post office and they'll give it to you, you know. But over there, it's a bit different, I think.
Hands-on.
Andrew, have you had that much experience with them sort of people?
I think all couriers. I mean, in Australia, it tends to be a case that if it's by courier, it needs a signature.
Yeah.
Australia Post, so our USPS, they will generally leave a small parcel on the doorstep, but it totally depends on the company and sometimes even the luck of the day and the driver and whether or not they've got somewhere to hide it on your porch or your front veranda or whatever. So it's all...
Well, they shouldn't really leave it there at all. If no one's home, they shouldn't really leave it there because they should just leave a card there and something and they should just...
I got a wine delivery a while ago, a box of wine. They just left that on the side of the door.
Oh, God. Crazy.
Mm, it's great in the heat.
That's just crazy. What about... Jody, what does Craig think about this story? Have you told him?
Yes, I did, and he thought it was pretty funny. He's surprised that I got the space gray. I think that was part of the story to him. But
I bet you
because he got gold.
Did he? Yeah, he said that. Did he? I bet you any money. He said to get the gold, right?
You know what? It's the same amount of money to get the gold versus the space gray. I think the space gray is classier. The reason I like it is because when you look at the phone itself, the outside of the screen is black, and on the gold one, it's white. And I don't think that the resolution looks as sharp with the white background.
Okay, what size did you get? How many GB did you get, whatever it is?
64.
Oh, you got 64 too. Yeah, same, me too. And you got an iPhone 5. You went from 4S to the 5, didn't you?
Woo.
Yeah, I did. So pretty cool. Loving it.
Good stuff. Paul, you're on the iPhone 5S too, mate, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm also on Space Gray, so that's working really good.
Yay!
Yeah, and you have that, okay. And Bryce is getting his very soon, right, Bryce?
Yep, as soon as the champagne comes in.
You're from the Apple Store, right, or did you from another shop, another store?
Yeah, all the Apple stores just say, ring back every day. it'll be in mid-October, but just keep ringing back every day, and I'm just like, yeah, okay.
All right. Let's wrap up. Jacob, final thoughts of the show and your social networks, please.
Links. Okay. You can find me on Twitter at jazzbot36691z. And the show was good.
All right.
And Siri has something to say.
Go ahead.
Thanks for having me on Tech Webcast.
Okay, that was really fast. I understand. Paul, what's your view on the show and your social links, mate?
Yeah, it was a good show. I thought there was quite a lot of content in there. So you can catch me on PKO12, basically on Twitter, YouTube, and Google Plus.
And also mention your iPhone app too, mate.
Oh, yeah, and you can catch me on iTunes and download the PKO12 application.
Nice one. And you're moved from Apple full-time now, have you, mate?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm still tied between two worlds, so it's really hard for me at this point. So, All right.
Okay, you can be on Twitter at Brad. I was on a Tech Webcast. Andrew, final thoughts and your Twitter name and whatever you want to say as well.
Yeah, good show, guys. And thanks, Bryce, for being on the show today. You can grab me at facebook.com/cunningdrew and twitter.com/cunningdrew. And you can get me zafo.com/@Andrew.
All right, Jody, final thoughts on the show and your username and stuff?
Check your Facebook privacy settings, everybody. And you can find me on Facebook as Jody Rains. You can find me on Twitter as Sunswept and here on Tech Webcast every Friday, rebroadcast on Aussie Tech Heads. And everywhere else, you can find me as either Jody Rains or webmarcom.net.
Okay, Bryce, final thoughts on your Twitter username, mate?
Yeah, good show, mate. Right, you can find me on Twitter, YouTube, pretty much everywhere else, under Bilsta57, B-I-L-S-T-A-57.
Is there videos coming back, mate?
Maybe.
All right, cool. Can't wait. All right, who else have I missed out? Steve or anyone else?
You can find me on Twitter at chatterbox_live.
All right, good stuff. Jacob, thanks, guys, for being on. Thanks, Bryce, Andrew, Jody, everyone else. Thanks for being on. Good show.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Hi, Glenn from Aussie Tech Heads. Join Will, Eric and myself as we bring you the latest, most up-to-date, important tech news that affects you from Australia and the world. A weekly podcast available each Friday through iTunes. Watch the live stream recording of the show at live.thesecrethub.com each Thursday night, 7:30 p.m. or GMT plus 10. Call in live via Skype or chat in our lounge. However you get us, just make sure you do. Listen or visit our website for more information, www.aussietechhead.com.au. Aussie Tech Heads, Australia's longest running Tech News Podcast.
Well, that's it for Tech Webcast this week. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed having your mind expanded. Tune in next week for more Tech Talk with Brad, Jason, and whatever crazy guests they've managed to rope in. Don't forget to get the Tech Webcast app from iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast, and of course, check us out on Facebook too. Until next time, may the tech be with you. Peace!